Good evening to all of you. It's a pleasure for me to be with you again to open up God's Word. And we've already had His Word read to us from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 16. And as Elder John has already mentioned, we'll be focusing just on four verses, verses 12 to 16. I won't read them again. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16 concerns the leper. And this morning, as we looked at Luke, he was about to begin his public ministry. Now it's begun in full. And he has begun to call men to himself, common fishermen, but he calls them to himself in a very peculiar way. And I want to focus not so much on the call of the fishermen, but the combination that we see in these verses of the nature of Jesus' ministry, which includes teaching on one side and miracles on the other. So he had brought his people together. The crowds are vast, and no wonder they came. Here comes this carpenter to tell fishermen how to fish. And it's the wrong time to fish. The men had already been out fishing, and there was nothing. And he says, no, do it the way I tell you. And again, he's a carpenter, not a fisherman. And it's the sun is shining, and if you know anything about fishing, wrong time to go out. And the great catch of fish produces the proper response in the disciples. They fall down and they worship him. They realize that he is not only powerful, but he is holy. In the first part of our chapter, first is the miracle, the great catch of fish, then the disciples' response, falling down in worship. But the next part of the chapter, the part where I want to focus, verses 12 to 16, it's similar to the first section, but in fact, it's different. The leper is going to worship first, and then will be the miracle. So Luke's narrative requires somebody rather special. Somebody's not qualified to be one of the intimate disciples. It takes a man who is full of leprosy. Let's see how Luke describes this man. Now, Luke is a Gentile, as was properly mentioned, but he's also a physician. And as he, as a physician, speaks, he gives a physician's eye view of the account. And this man is pitiful. We don't know his name. But if you have the NIV translation, it says he's covered in leprosy. If we have the ESV, he's full of leprosy. Whatever it is, this man is like a moth in a cocoon. He is totally and covered with this dread disease of leprosy. Now, we know a little bit about leprosy. It's still around. It's caused by a slowly multiplying microbacterium. And the cell structure of this bacteria is very difficult to destroy. And that's probably one of the reasons why it grows very slowly, and it's a death sentence. Leprosy, like COVID, spreads to other people through droplets of a respiration. And leprosy was a real punishment 2,000 years ago. In fact, I'd like us to spend a minute thinking about leprosy as God's punishment. For the Jew, of course, being sick with leprosy was miserable. It was a true physical ailment. But the disease in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New, leprosy was connected directly with sin. And God's law deals with leprosy. Jesus, when he heals the leper, he says, do that which is in accordance with the law. So let's take a quick look in the Old Testament and see what God said to do about leprosy. In Deuteronomy 24, at verse 8, he says this, God says, be careful against an infection of leprosy. that you diligently observe and do according to all that the Levitical priests shall teach you. As I have commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. And there are plenty of examples from the Old Testament connecting sin and leprosy. And I'll bet some of you can remember the stories. Remember Miriam and Aaron? They had wrongfully condemned Moses and Moses' ministry. And how did God handle them? He handled them in a very special way. At Numbers chapter 12, verse 10, we read this. When the cloud lifted from the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. Now here we have to remember that God instantly, unilaterally, used leprosy as a punishment. She had sinned against Moses and God's ministry through Moses. Leprosy is the result. Now, another example from the Old Testament is when God used the disease to chasten an arrogant king. And that's from 2 Chronicles chapter 26 at verse 19. It reads this way. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, king isn't supposed to do that, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. In both of these two examples, leprosy came directly from the finger of God himself, while the sufferer was in God's presence. A third example is different from the first two. 2 Kings 5:1 is Naaman. Naaman's described in a peculiar fashion. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. So Naaman is a rich and a powerful soldier, but at the same time, he was also a man with a mild form of leprosy. Naaman was obedient to the prophet's command, and you know the end of the story. Naaman is going to be healed of this dread disease. But the story continues, providing a fourth example of a guy named Gehazi. At 2 Kings 5:21, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence, and he was leprous, as white as snow. So Gehazi receives leprosy because of his sin, and it's a curse from God, this time afflicted through the word of God's prophet. Well, how do we put all of this together? We have all of these examples, and remember, the scripture, unlike my sermon, has no extra words. The scriptures are perfect. They are inerrant. And all of these examples are meant to help us to understand the leper in the New Testament. Miriam, Uzziah, Gehazi, all these lepers who were Jewish had spiritual implications from their leprosy that were more terrible than the actual physical affliction. Its ugly fruit brought an isolation in their life from all that is good and beautiful on this earth. Isolation from their home, isolation from their family, but most importantly, isolation from the house of the Lord. Now, we know a little bit about isolation over the last 20 months. But we've been able to have fellowship. The leper has no fellowship with friends or family or the people of God. And so we have this narrative, and he, Uzziah, lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Imagine that description of your life. So leprosy is directly related to God's presence. On the other hand, God is going to use leprosy to demonstrate His presence in another miraculous way. And once again, perhaps you remember the story. Do you remember about Moses and leprosy? Moses was given by God two fabulous signs to demonstrate that God was with him. The first was the staff that could turn into a serpent. But the second was leprosy. In Exodus 4:6, we read, "Then the Lord said," remember, "put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, white like snow. He could then put it back, and he would be healed. And God pronounced the purpose of this sign. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." So this fascinating story of how Old Testament lepers communicated with the town also plays a role in understanding what Luke wants us to understand about the leper. One more story, this time from 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 to 11. 2 Kings 7, 3 to 11. "There were at that time leprous men who were facing death itself. There was warfare between Israel and the Arameans. And the lepers went to the enemy, the Arameans, to beg for mercy and food." They had cut off all food from Israel. But God, in the meantime, had called the Arameans to run away. So the lepers go into the Aramean camp, and there's no Arameans, but there's plenty of food. So they told the people of Israel, the lepers. They come near to the city, and we read in 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11, "So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, 'We went to the Aramean camp, and there's nobody there. It's okay.' So then the gatekeepers shouted back into the city, and they report that all the way to the king's palace. So the lepers bring the good news that the Arameans had fled. The lepers risked their lives coming that close to the gatekeepers. Again, nobody wants to be near the lepers. But they needed to do that to provide the word of deliverance for God's people. So shouting at a gatekeeper was as close as you dare to come to a clean Israelite if you're leprous." So all this Old Testament background helps us to understand Luke's little snippet four-verse narrative concerning the leper. This man is as miserable as you can imagine. His body is cocooned in leprosy. So he's in the final stages. He is on the verge of death. He's physically miserable. And in contrast to the hundreds of fish that are called forth just a few verses before that, this man lives a life of lonely desperation. His only fellowship is with other agonizing sufferers. Brothers and sisters, the life of leprosy was a wretched life. It was a living death, cut off from God, cut off from the redeemed, cut off from family. So with this background information in mind, let's examine the leper's actions. The healed leper comes into Jesus' presence. And notice what he does as he comes to Jesus. He cries out to him, and he asks for healing. He falls on his face and implores him. So notice that this man knew what to do. He doesn't hope and say, if it might be possible, could you perhaps heal me? No, he falls down, he's on his face in the dust, and he's crying out for mercy. He is absolutely worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is confessing his faith properly found in Christ that he can heal him of this most dread disease. But we are also to remember that he broke the law. He shouldn't have come up to Jesus. The law is very clear. He is unclean. He has no right. As a matter of fact, just by entering the town to get anywhere near Jesus, he was breaking God's law. Leviticus 13, 45 and 46 says specifically, you may not do that. So let's see what Jesus does with him. Let's take a look at Jesus' actions. And we want to focus on the miraculous healing touch of Jesus Christ. Now guess what? Touching a leper is against the law. Jesus understands that. Jesus chose to violate the law. He could break the Sabbath laws. He could command his disciples to break the Sabbath laws. He could break God's law because he's the author of the law. He transcends the law. He's the true interpreter of the law. And he could demonstrate mercy whenever he wants. And oh, brothers and sisters, our Lord wants to demonstrate mercy to this man cocooned in leprosy. And our powerful Savior didn't need to touch this man, did he? Remember Lazarus? A little bit later, Jesus is just going to turn to the tombs and say, "Yo, Lazarus, come on out." And you know why he says Lazarus, right? Because if he didn't say Lazarus, the whole cemetery would have come out. So it's just Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. He doesn't need to touch him. He doesn't need to do anything. He just commands, and even death has to obey. But he wants to touch the unnamed leper because it's the intimacy of the touch that directly brings the threat of infection. And Jesus is not threatened by leprosy. Jesus is not threatened by the evil. This morning, we already understood that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I am the Messiah who was promised by Isaiah. He knew he was the Messiah. He announces he's the Messiah. And he has just announced, by the way, I am the King of the Sea. I will make the fish swim into your net. They will be so plentiful that the weight will sink your boats. And I am the King of this poor man's suffering body. What's he doing? He is showing us. He is making good on his claim. Imagine me making a claim that I played in the National Basketball Association. What a silly claim. I mean, anybody would say, sorry, you're only about 2 feet too short. You can't make such a claim. When someone makes a claim, they should be able to back it up. This morning we saw Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. And now I'm going to show you. Fish, come on in. Leper, you're better. I am the King. I am the King of this world. I'll touch the leprosy. I'll break my Father's law. That's what's going on. He's giving a command. And what does Jesus then do? He commands him to obey the law that Jesus just broke. I can break the law, he says, but you go to the priest and do everything that you are told to do in the law. Don't tell anyone that I'm the king. Now, again, thinking of human nature, you tell somebody, now, shh, don't tell anybody, and they're going to tell more people. But nevertheless, the command was there. Make an offering in obedience to the Mosaic law, as we see then in Leviticus 13 and 14. And by the way, what the leper had to do was actually quite amazing. He had to offer two doves. One was just an offering to the Lord. The second dove, the blood is sprinkled on him. And then he'd have to ceremonially wash himself and actually bathe himself. And then with a razor, cut off every hair from all body parts. Even his eyebrows had to be shaved. And then a week later, he'd have to go to the priest again to be inspected by the priest to see that he was clean from the leprosy. So being clean from the leprosy, following God's command, was important for our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus supports the ceremonial law when they don't clash with his perfect understanding of the law. And our passage demonstrates that Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, is saying, I am the Messiah. But at the same time, when he touches the leper, dear brothers and sisters, he's saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega of understanding the law of God. Later, the priests and the Pharisees are going to oppose him for his different views. And he's going to say, you've heard it said, but I say. So he's doing that without words. He's doing it with his actions. The law says, don't you dare touch a leper, and I'm going to reach forth my hands. Well, brothers and sisters, how do we respond to the presence of the leper? This isn't just a wonderful story about a miraculous healing, although it is. We learn much about our Lord Jesus Christ. First, brothers and sisters, he was a miracle worker. He did mighty miracles. We have two of them, the great fish catch and the healing of the leper. Second, he was rightfully worshipped. The very beginning of his public ministry, his disciples worshipped him after seeing the miracle. The leper worshipped him before being healed. Why was he worshipped? Because he's not just a rabbi. He's not just a priest. He is God incarnate. No one else has been God incarnate. No one else will ever be God incarnate. God has left the realms of glory and considered equality with God something that could be given up, and he took the form of a servant, and he lived a life of humiliation for us. Why did he leave those vast realms of glory? Oh, if I knew. Except I know that he loves us. He loved that leper. And his love motivates him. The last thing we need to remember about Christ is that he is the perfect giver of the law. Remember, the king gives law. The king is the law. So Jesus is demonstrating, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, but I am also the perfect lawgiver. I think we understand this theology. I've been here enough. I know your preachers over the last 12 or 15 years. You've heard this kind of preaching Sunday after Sunday. So let's be as specific as we can. Brothers and sisters, this is a story of Jesus seeking and saving the lost. And that's where I want to focus the rest of this evening. He loves the leper. And as such, this is a model for us for our evangelism, doing biblical evangelism. And the parallels between the story in the beginning of the chapter and our chapter is very clear. We were the lepers. We were cocooned in our sin, and it was a death sentence. And we couldn't get near God and His holiness. We couldn't enter into His presence without running away in fear. We were full of leprosy. We were full of this divine punishment. And as the leper was a stranger from the proper worship of God and a stranger from the blessed fellowship that is ours with God's people, so were we at one time. Right outside these doors, there are lepers. And they are not pretty. And they are cocooned in their leprosy. But in His own person, Jesus Christ drew the leper, and He drew us by the power of the Holy Spirit to Himself. As the leper knew his situation and knew the relief that can be found in Jesus Christ, so to all who know their condition and yearn to be delivered from that condition, Christ and Christ alone is the answer to that condition. When we ask Christ to heal us in faith, He will reach out His holy and pure hand and touch our leprous bodies. He will hold us in the palm of His hand. And as the leper hoped for a proper answer from Jesus, so we know, because the Scriptures promise, if anyone seeks Him, in no way will he ever be cast out. This is the yes of Christ to the cry of any leprous heart. And the application of this passage comes from Mark the physician's beautiful telling of this story. But Luke's the physician. Sorry, I messed that up. It's Luke who wrote this. It's Luke that we read. But when we turn to Mark, Mark has the same account, as does Matthew and Luke. And turn in your Bibles, if you'd like, to Mark 1:45. Just one verse. Mark 1:45, Mark says this. But he went out again, this is the leper, and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. Aren't we the leper? Don't we want to be this leper? Have you been cleansed? Have you felt the cleansing touch of Jesus Christ? That leper, even though he was commanded to be silent, could not be silent. And I'd like to suggest to us that evangelism is not something that's done just by the church elders. Evangelism is not something that's just done by, well, the more mature in the congregation. Evangelism is done by lepers who have been cleansed. And all we have to do is say, excuse me, I was a leper, and now I'm clean. I would like to introduce you to the one who cleansed me. His name is Christ. It's a simple statement. And that's, I think, what is set before us in this passage. You see, it's easy to forget that we're cleansed lepers. It's easy to forget who we were and who we are. It's not easy to tell others. But when we remember that we have so great a salvation in Christ, then we're like the leper. And if we have been healed, then brothers and sisters, let's leave tonight and proclaim it freely. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in this room are a bunch of healed lepers. We are here this evening because you have touched our hearts. Lord, we pray for any who might not understand this. We ask you to draw them to yourself. But certainly many of us in this room know what it's like to cry out and say, Lord, I am filthy. Heal me. Make me whole. Lord, we ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, tomorrow at work, tomorrow at school, in the airport, wherever we find ourselves, help us to not be afraid. Help us to have the courage of that leper who told others. As a matter of fact, you told so many that crowds began to gather. Lord, we ask for crowds here in this building and in this city of men and women who know that cleansing through the work of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit's power. Bless us, we ask. And Lord, as I leave the congregation this evening, I ask in Jesus' name that you would bless this congregation here at Springs. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would be with them through the transitions with the selling of their building and finding another building. Lord, bless them in every way that they need. Bless the session as they exercise leadership through this process. Be with the deacons. Help them through the difficult decisions that will be made. And together we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.